Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
I want to talk to you today about the secret power of a little while. Now, we all know that we live in a world that's in a hurry. Microwave moments and fast and furious functions of life. And we can't hardly sit at a red light without showing our impatience. We want to be in the fast lanes of life. We want to be on the shortcut to success. We want the overnight story of championship and breaking through the barriers. And yet we know that that's not really the reality in true life and in a sincere perspective of what it takes to be a winner, what it takes to be an overcomer. And especially in the kingdom of God, if we're not careful, we will allow this drive for success, this human ambition, this need to be recognized for who we are and what we've done, for achievement and success, both spiritually and physically and emotionally and every aspect of our lives. And if we're not careful, we miss the beauties of what it is to wait upon the Lord, what it is to find a claim in His presence, and to know that sometimes the anointing of the Lord in our lives is in development, and you can't rush it, no more than you can rush the caterpillar in the cocoon to become the butterfly. Should you break him out of the gauzy fabric of that cocoon too early, then that caterpillar falls to the ground and has no wings, has no ability to thrust above or transcend or get beyond the ordinary. It just stays in the curse of the dust, just stays on the flat lands of impossibility. But in order for us to soar with the wings of the Spirit, we have to wait upon the Lord. That's why Isaiah 40 teaches us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. But you have to notice the three categories there, or the three elements. One is flying with wings, one is running, and one is walking. So one third at least of this transportation, of this travel, of this moving with God, whether by walking, running, or with eagle's wings, is going to be walking. That's a slower pace. That's a more methodical understanding of what God is doing. That's the pace sometimes that comes with pain, and we have to endure it for a while. But after it's over, the development of a testimony, the strengthening of our faith, the increasing of our significance and purpose in the kingdom of God is more clearly defined. This in mind, Jesus told his disciples in John 16 and 19 through 20. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now think about this in terms of what it means to wait on God for just a little while. And I know that even in measuring the timeline of that little while, well, we could look at the fact that 1 Peter says a day is as a thousand years and a thousand years as a day with the Lord. But I think it's something better than that. I don't think this is something that has some kind of everlasting, indeterminate measure of time to it. I think that when the Lord's talking about a little while, I think it's in comparison to what we may feel is a too lengthy time of struggle or trouble or trial. And the fact is that I believe that there are many who are just a few minutes from the manifestation they've been longing to see. Some are just a few more hours from the anointing that breaks the yoke in their life. And if they could just wait on the Lord just a little bit longer, and maybe it's been a long season, maybe it's been a long journey in the desert, and maybe there's been many, many troubles and things that have brought a sense of not wanting to continue. And yet Colossians 1 and 23 said, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So he's talking about continuing in faith. Continue is not just about movement. It's also about maintaining. And we don't necessarily, especially in leadership terms, like the word management. But sometimes management's not a bad thing. Sometimes maintaining is not a bad thing, especially if you stay grounded in the grace of God, especially if you stay settled in scriptural understanding. You stay founded on the Word of God. That means you're not going to be easily moved away. You're not going to be carried about by every wind of doctrine. You're not going to be so soon removed like the church at Galatia was that stunned Paul, that they could hear this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet they take the first exit ramp of witchcraft. They allow themselves to get caught up in some idolatrous mindset again, so much that he would ask them in Galatians 3, having begun in the spirit, are you made perfect in the flesh? So we see that there is value on waiting on the Lord and accepting that some things might just take a little bit longer, and being inspired not just by the destination, but by this relationship and intimacy with God during the journey, every step of the way, every discovery on that journey, every clue of life that is left along the trail, and the treasures of truth that we discover. And sometimes we don't get to those discoveries without the deserts of hardships and without the storms of trial. And so that's why in Luke 24 and 49, before the ascension of Christ, he told him, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So they were supposed to go back to Jerusalem and tarry. That meant to wait until they received something from God that was going to equip them better to preach the gospel to the whole world. But tarry until. So it didn't say it was indefinite, didn't say it was going to be this permanent place of having to exercise patience, and especially in times of persecution or in hours of feeling as though the promises of God have been unceremoniously procrastinated forever and ever. But it's tarry until. That's not forever. It's not a permanent waiting. Something is going to come. Something is going to break through. And for these disciples, after the ascension of Christ, it was merely at 8 to 10 days of waiting upon the Lord. And I would say, especially with the outpouring of the Spirit, ever since they had the initial waiting upon the Lord for the promise of the Father, that glorious rain of the Holy Ghost has been pouring out ever since. It's not the will of God for somebody to tarry now. And I've been in services, and we've all probably seen people, and maybe you're one of those individuals who waited years and years before you received the Holy Ghost, but you realized that when you got the Holy Ghost, in most cases, you felt like, man, if I would have known this up front, I wouldn't have waited this long, or I wouldn't have had to tarry so long. And generally, if we do tarry for the Holy Ghost, or we see individuals that become what we call chronic seekers in a congregation, it's because they have something blocking the way. They have maybe just an ounce of unbelief, or just a little bit of shame that's blocking the entrance of the Spirit, or something that won't quite let them open that door of faith all the way. But then all of a sudden, that flooding moment comes, and that river of the Holy Ghost springs out and gushes forth, and they begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And most people I've talked to after that, by like, wow, if I'd have known this, I would have received this so many years ago. I would have got myself out of the way. Psalm 37 and 10 said, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. First of all, I want to tell you that the devil won't always be in charge. It may seem like every door of effectual is being blocked by adversaries. It may feel like you're being constantly surrounded and outnumbered by the armies of hell. It may feel like that the sickness that you have felt many times, you've received a touch of the Lord for, becomes a recurring situation, and it keeps coming back. The symptoms keep cropping up. And so it damages your faith, or it plays with your mind, or it leans on your emotions until you feel a lot of doubt and depression. But I want to tell you that when politics fade and defilement disappears, and at some point when perversion walks off the world stage into everlasting elimination, that the word of our God will be standing forever. And the purpose and promises that he is performing in your life, you need to understand that the persecutors will not always be persecuting, and that those that are antagonistic toward this great faith that you have sold yourself out to, they're not always going to be around. Someday the trumpet of the Lord will sound. Someday the kingdom of God will be set up upon this earth. And someday there'll truly be peace, and not just spiritual peace that passeth all understanding. There'll be a true world peace. And that's going to come by the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, we wait a little while. We go through a few more days of lamentation, if we will. We go through a few more hours of inconveniences, if we will. We have to struggle through the trials and the troubles just a little bit more. And there are those moments when we feel like nothing is ever going to break our way. But something I just happened to open up and see in a particular article were three reminders when you're tired of waiting. Number one, even in the silence, God is not ignoring you. Number two, even when you feel lonely, God has not abandoned you. Number three, even when your heart is tired, God still has good plans for you. And so I think these are powerful signs of what we're facing and where we're living at, that the grace of God is going to be with us. And even in times of frightening difficulties, we still have the favor of God upon us. We still have his tender mercies there. And just like when Hezekiah in the Old Testament, he and his people were surrounded by Sennacherib and by the Assyrians and almost 200,000 soldiers that were coming to siege the land, and with all of the insults that they hurled toward Jehovah, and all of the threats that they made, and all of the condescending actions and attitudes that they bestowed upon Hezekiah, belittling him, condescending to him, patronizing his faith, and making God look like he was nothing more than some little old figurine that they could just wipe out of the way. But in one night, the Lord removed the enemy, sent a plague that killed over 185,000 soldiers. And within 2 years, the king himself had been killed, assassinated by his own sons. And so the devil's not always going to be in charge. And so you have to, as a disciple of the Lord, know that you're going to endure, but it's just a little while. John 14:19 said, "Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also." Secondly, disclosure will come to the chosen. There are many mysteries when it comes to the kingdom of God. The beautiful thing about having an intimate relationship with God is that he brings manifestations of his purpose. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." So when we can get out of our carnal minds and enter in to a place of spiritual understanding and spiritual pursuit, because we know that when we're in this place of prayer, that we shall ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So the time in the quest is not wasted. And the quest becomes a conquest, because we become more than conquerors. And as we continue to walk with the Lord, things that aren't clearly seen today become more visible and understood as we continue to walk with God. As Dr. Philip Yancey said one time, faith is merely believing in advance what will only make sense in reverse. So sometimes we get on the other side and we look back and we see where we've come. We see the trails that we walked and the paths of pain that we've endured. And we know that God has been with us and that he's going to show us. He's going to give us bits of information along the way. And as we seek the Lord, he's going to reveal his purpose. And it may come a piece at a time, and it may come a fragment here and there. But as we put these pieces together, we get more and more understanding. And we know that in a little while, we're going to know as we are known, according to 1 John. John 16:16 said, "A little while, you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. See, number three, the discernment will come to a change. The discernment will come to the change. You can't look for him the way the world looks for him. You have to see him in faith when others are tearing him down in philosophy. You have to perceive his presence when doubters are looking for a different kind of a sign. Because beyond the visible and the seen things of the earth, the disciple has to detect the hidden ways of God, the simple hints of heaven, the glimpses of glory on the edge of possibility and impossibility. And so you can't contain God in a visible object, and you can't control God with majority opinions, and you can't contrive God with human origins. The way that you discern him and the way that you have proper discernment is to come to that place in the Spirit where your mind and your vision is changed by what the Lord is doing and how the Lord is speaking to us, how the Lord is directing us by the lamp of his word and by the torch of prophecies that he has spoken into our lives. Now, going back to John 16 that I read earlier, when Jesus said that you shall weep, John 16 and 20, and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now think about the transformation of things that are bad, that suddenly at some point by the touch of God and the intervention of God is going to become something good. Then he goes on to say in verse 21, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. My friend, when something is being born, the pain precedes fulfillment. You wonder if it's going to be worth it. The travail here in childbirth is severe. It is painful. But that pain is forgotten the moment that they see the birth of that promise. What pain in your life could be the signs of a promise being born? But there are times that you push and it seems nothing happens. You hope when everything seems to indicate disaster. You continue to carry that promise of God in your spirit, even though you know hell is trying to make you abort every prophecy spoken. Yet you let it gestate a few more days and grow in your spirit and be nourished by the consistency of prayer. You won't stop believing. You won't stop trusting the infallible God you serve. You won't let mishaps and misunderstandings cause you to lose the coming forth of a dream or a plan or a divine design in your life. So you've failed in the last three Bible studies you've taught, and no one has come to be baptized or experience an Acts 2:38 conversion. But you hold on to what you feel in your soul. You continue to hold on to what's being formed in your faith, to what's impregnated in your spiritual mind. And at some point, the birthing of revival will come, the breaking forth of children in the womb of struggle and the altars of intercession. They will come. As Isaiah 54:1 says, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. This means that there are some who go through moments of barrenness and moments when it looks like they're never going to have what they so desperately are praying for. And yet, for those that have seemed to live in the places where it is most empty are going to see the most abundant break forth of revival and of harvest and of souls and of children of the Lord being born, of altars being filled with those in your family or in your community or people that you've been trying to reach, or for some minister that's listening to this today, for all of the messages that you have preached and all the seed that you have sown and all the prayers that you have prayed before God, and all of a sudden you realize they're not desolate. God has not evacuated the source of his strength, and God is not sabotaging his own scripture. He's a God of omnipotence and omniscience, and he's never late. He's never behind the times. He's always in his perfect will, right on time. And God's getting ready to do it for you. And it's going to be one of the greatest things. And that's why Isaiah 54:2 said, enlarge the place of thy tent and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Why? Because the family's getting bigger and expansion is coming, and the breaking out of those things that seem to be isolated or empty or just religious rhetoric is now going to become the revelation of a relationship with God. And those things that have been sown in you, those things that have been formed in you, are going to come forth, and you're not going to have room presently where you are to hold it. So you got to enlarge the place of your tent. Verse 3 said, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. I mean, we're looking here at a prophetic passage that shows us the will of God for a Gentile revival that would happen in the book of Acts and continues to happen to this day. That the will of God is to have revival that buildings cannot hold, and that the present body as it is cannot contain it. But we keep birthing it, and we keep bringing it forth, and we keep letting God form it in us, and we keep breaking forth into singing, and we keep enlarging our places in an expectation of what God is about to bring forth. Somebody who needs to realize you're just a little while from this spiritual breakthrough, you need to hear Isaiah 54:4. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed. You've walked around with shame because you haven't seen the success. You've walked around feeling sorrowful and feeling self-pity because the prosperity seems to be absent and the ship hasn't come in, yet nothing seems to be going your way. But this passage is telling you that there is such a breaking forth of revival and the birthing of children in a spiritual sense that you'll have no reason to hang your head. You'll lift your hands. You'll raise your voice. You'll shout with a triumph of those things that have finally come to pass. Then it says, neither be thou confounded. It's coming to clarity. You're not going to be confused. It will not always be veiled. It's going to be seen. The stage is being set and the curtain will be drawn. And when the spotlight of the perfect will of God is shown, you're going to be right there in that moment, ready to perform the perfect will of God and to see it. And the Bible goes on to say, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. Oh, my friend, whatever failures you've had of the past, whatever sentences of pity and shame and guilt and reproach that you've served out, the Lord is reaching for you today. The Lord is encouraging you today to tell you that just a little while, just a few more steps, just a few more hours of the anguish that you've been in, and there's an anointing that's going to break the yoke, and the tempest is going to be silent, and the raging sea is going to be still, and the winds are going to be calm. And as you step into that field of the perfect design of God and the perfect harvest for your life, you're going to see that things have grown. You're going to see that the seeds that have been planted in you through the Word of God and those scriptures that you've highlighted and prayed and quoted and stood upon and even rebuked the spirits of darkness with, that they're truly going to come to pass, that God is going to keep His Word. Just a little while, my friend, just a little more, just a few more days. Don't give up. Don't let the tenacity that you've once had and the bulldog grip that you once have, don't let loose of it now. You be like Jacob that got a hold of that angel and refused to let go until that transformation comes, until that blessing is born, until at the dawn and the breaking of the day, there is a revelation that God's purpose has truly been fulfilled in your life. It is my prayer for somebody today to not wander in the darkness, not be discouraged alone in the cave of uncertainty. It is my prayer today that somebody listening to this message will be stirred by the touch of the Lord and will be inspired by the Word of God, that in just a little while things are going to be better, and in just a little while the storm is going to be over, and just a little while the damage that some storms in the past have left in your life, the reconstruction projects of the Spirit are going to come in, the rebuilding is going to take place, and it's going to look better than it ever did before, because God with His grace and God with His mercy and God with His tender love toward us wants us only to have the very best. You don't have to settle for less. You don't have to settle for the short-changed or shortcuts. You do it God's way, and you continue to let the river of the Holy Ghost flow out of you today, because you're just a little while from that spiritual breakthrough. In Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com, and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.